This is Talk To Me. Your host, Joshua Toomey, bring you epic rants, anecdotes, and interviews with heavy hitters from hardcore.
A new life begins!
To hair metal. This is Talk To Me.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into Talk To Me. This is episode 240. The guest this week is the mighty Andreas Kisser of Sepultura. They have a new album out, February 7th, on Nuclear Blast Records, entitled Quadra. Make sure to get that tomorrow. Upcoming tour with Sacred Reich and Crowbar, March 18th through April 22nd, throughout the United States. And they will be doing all of these summer fests overseas, so make sure to check them out where you can. On this episode, Andreas and I talk about the new album, recording, the recording process. If you watch, they've got some great behind-the-scenes videos in the studio, and Paolo has never been known to be the most proficient bass player, but man, watching those videos gave me anxiety, it should give you anxiety, and Andreas and I talk about that, and touring with Pantera, his time auditioning for Metallica, so much good stuff. Andreas was such a great guest to have on the show. And before we get into our chat with Andreas Kisser of Sepultura, let me tell you about the new Talk To Me t-shirt. Make sure you are checking out all of the socials at Talk To Me Talk on Twitter, Talk To Me Talk on Facebook, the Talk To Me Congregation, the Facebook group on Facebook. Head over there, check out the latest Talk To Me t-shirt. They're $25, free shipping in the United States. If you are outside the United States, just let me know. We will work something out. And you can hit me up, paypal.me/talktome, $25. Let me know your name, your address, and your size, and I will get a shirt out to you as soon as possible. Sizes small through extra large is what I have left. So please, please hit me up. Get these shirts out of my house and onto your body. All right, we are heading over to merchlive.com right now to check out their selection of hard rock and heavy metal tees. Check out your favorite bands over there, merchlive.com, where you can get Pantera, Tool, Aerosmith, Korn, Guns N' Roses, Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, all of the EMP label group stuff. They've got Def Leppard, Ghost, Alice in Chains. Make sure to check out the latest episode of Decibel Geek for a great Jar of Flies talk with Toby Wright over there on the Decibel Geek podcast. But make sure to go over to merchlive.com, shop till you drop, use the promo code TOOMY10 at checkout for 10% off your entire order. Yes, that is TOOMY10 at checkout for 10% off your entire order. And once again, TOOMEY10 at checkout for 10% off your entire order. So let's check out some new music off of Quadra. Let's talk to Andreas Kisser. Let's hit up some classic Sepultura, some classic Metallica, and then I will be back with you momentarily.
Hey all, here's Andreas Kisser from Sepultura, and you're listening to Talk To Me. Enjoy!
I'm
right, guys, we have Andreas Kisser, legendary guitarist of Sepultura, on the line. They have a new album out, Quadra, out tomorrow, February 7th, on Nuclear Blast Records. Andreas, it is a pleasure to have you on the show, man.
Thank you very much, man. Pleasure to talk to you.
So I've been digging into this new album, and the one thing that I've noticed that you've kind of said a little bit and that the album just says for itself is the fact that, you know, if you're a fan of any era of Sepultura, you're going to find something on this album that you like.
Yeah, I think so. You know, of course, always when we do something new, we bring a little bit what we did in the past, you know, especially because we do a lot of tours. We develop the songs on stage and, you know, meet new people, new bands and new influences and stuff. And we're always adding something, you know, bringing something new for something that we already did. This Quadra was very much influenced for what we did on Machine Messiah. You know, that's why we repeated the whole process, working with Jens Bogren again. We went to Sweden to use the same studio, you know, same producer and everything, you know, because the experience working on Machine Messiah and the reaction we got was very positive. We were very satisfied with the result and the touring and everything, you know. So the idea was to develop even further, you know, all the ideas that we explored on Machine Messiah. And because of the concept, you know, Quadra, the numerology and geometry, all that stuff, that was really the starting point of the concept, you know, of everything. We divided the album in four parts, you know, like a double vinyl release, let's say, you know, like side A, B, C, and D. Mm-hmm. And each side of the album, we brought some of the characteristics, elements of the Sepultura career, you know, like the first part of side A, it's more connected to the trash era, you know, the old school days of Sepultura, Beneath the Remains, Arise, and all that stuff, you know. Side B, it's more connected to the groovier side with the percussion influence from the Brazilian music, which we use so much and started to use on Chaos AD and Roots, and then Against and Nation. And, you know, actually, percussion is a natural part of Sepultura's music today, you know, and it started around that time. Of course, side C, it's more connected to the instrumental world, you know, which was so important with Sepultura throughout our career. My first album with Sepultura, Schizophrenia, back in 1987, we did the song Inquisition Symphony. You know, I did a little acoustic piece called The Abyss. And then on Roots, we did Itzari. And on the last album, Iceberg Dances, you know, which was very, it was very great, you know, to perform the song live and stuff. So we were inspired more on the instrumental world, you know, on this side. And on side D, it's more of the song Machine Messiah, you know, or the cover we did from the song Angel from Massive Attack, you know, more melody on the vocals, more a slow pace type of song. And we have a female singer as a guest on the last song on the album. So we explore a little bit of everything we did, but of course, with the elements of today, with the energy and the attitude of today, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And luckily, the production value is a little bit better than Schizophrenia on this one, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. That's for sure.
So being a world band and being a, you know, not necessarily just an American band, you know, where you know, you want to go to New York or LA to record, you know, do you find it being from Brazil and touring the world and being almost more of a world band that going to Sweden to record isn't that maybe that outside the box than, you know, maybe if you grew up in you know, in Nashville and you want to go record in LA or you know, New York?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, we did albums all over the place, you know. Of course, we started here in Brazil with a very poor technology and stuff, you know. And the first album we did with an American producer, Scott Burns, you know, he flew down to
Scott
Brazil.
Burns.
Yeah, he came down from Florida to Brazil to work in the best studio that we could find in Rio, you know, was the one of the great studio there. And then we went to Florida to record at the Morris Sound Studios. We recorded Rise there.
Wow.
And then KZD, we went to Wales, you know, South Wales, to record at the Rockfield Studios, which is a legendary studio where Black Sabbath recorded and Queen recorded A Night at the Opera, and among others, you know. It's a fantastic, iconic studio that we record Chaos AD there. And then Roots were recorded in Malibu, and, you know, we record in Brazil a lot of albums like Against and Nation and all that stuff, you know. But yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily only technology. You know, I think the whole ambience and the vibes and, of course, the chemistry you have with the producer is very important, you know. But we did great albums here in Brazil with all the limitations we had, you know. But it's great that we have this possibility, you know, that we know so many people. We travel a lot and tour a lot all over the place, so we meet a lot of people, you know. So when it's time to find a producer or to find a direction, you know, we have many options to choose from, which is great.
And speaking of the studio, you've released so many great clips of you guys in the studio with Paulo and Eloy and you and Derek. And the one thing growing up playing bass, I hated the studio. There was something about that microscope that just gave me so much anxiety. And watching Paulo in the studio just struggling,
yeah,
brought back so many like feelings and emotions that I haven't felt in a long time. And I think it's awesome that you guys put stuff like that out to kind of show that, you know, not everybody's like a one take wonder, and you know, the studio is very much a struggle. There's people that can go in and get it in one take, and then there's people that just get, it's not even about your talent, it's like wrapped up in your head.
Yeah, it doesn't matter really, you know. It doesn't matter how many takes, if you did one or if you did 100, you know. I mean, it's all about the performance, you know. The studio is a whole different world, really. As you said, you know, it is like a microscopic world that you hear all your mistakes and you hear all your stuff that you usually don't hear on the practice room or live, you know. So it is like a process of education, you know, of yourself, that you have to relearn how to play certain things, and you have to adapt the position of the hand and stuff. So it is an evolution process, you know. And it's not easy. It didn't supposed to be easy. I mean, even for one takers, you know, I mean, the guys who comes there and do it at once, I mean, he's prepared for that, you know. I mean, there's a lot of work, a lot of study, a lot of effort and energy for a guy to go there and do something like that. And we did, you know, stuff. I mean, we just did like a recording for a Brazilian TV series here that is coming out in May. We did a cover version from a band, and that was the great opportunity for us to try to do a live recording, which we never did before. Mm-hmm. And we did it, you know, me, Eloy, and Paulo. We went there, and the first take was what it is. Of course, we did some overdubs of extra guitars and vocals and percussion and stuff. But, you know, it was a great experience for us that to go there and play as a band, you know, as a trio. And whatever we did, it's there registered, you know. But it all depends on the concept of the album or what we are working on it and stuff, you know. It's not necessarily a goal for any musicians to be like that, you know. Because it doesn't matter in the end, in the final result, you know. If you have a good producer and if you always focus on your every 100th performance of the same part, you know, it's gonna get it right somehow, you know. So, you know, there's not a general rule or the only way to follow. Every band or every musician have a different approach to the studio and a different way of working, which is fine, you know.
Yeah, and I think in today's technology, you know, you're not recording to tape, so you're not having to punch in and punch out. And, you know, there was an art form to that, you know, just being able for the producer to punch in and punch out, you know, on time and things like that. So I think with the technology of today, you know, you can really, really get in there and nitpick what you're playing.
Yeah, I think, you know, to record Quadra, for instance, in 1989, I think it will take a few months, you know, like a... just because of the time consuming of rewinding tape and cutting tape and stuff, you know. And we came from that school, you know. We use the whole process of Sepultura history of recording in Brazil with very you know, limited equipment and then technology and Pro Tools and stuff. We lived through everything, you know, when those things were really changing. I mean, the first time we used Pro Tools was on Against, you know, in 1998. When we recorded with two producers, different producer, Howard Benson from the United States and Carlo Bartolini from Brazil, you know, and they were dealing with new technology and doing an album together. You know, it was exciting, you know, it was pretty cool. But that's I think why we're here still, you know, after 35 years, because we learning and adapting ourselves with new technology and to keep Sepultura music as alive as possible. You know, I think we achieved on Quadra a much alive or live situation than compared to Machine Messiah, for instance. You know, it's a much more loose album, much more relaxed, just a few edits, you know, especially on the drums. You know, the drums really flowing and everything, and that helps, you know, a lot, everything else that comes after that, you know.
So with Quadra coming out tomorrow, you know, you're finally getting it out. You know, how long has the album been completed?
Yeah, the album was, we recorded the album in Sweden last August, September, something like that. And the album has been done since October or something, because we presented the cover and we played Isolation, the first song on the album, at Rock in Rio Festival on October 4th, you know. That's where we had to deliver the masters and everything, you know. So since October, everything is ready and to go. And yeah, finally, tomorrow is out, you know. It's like the anxiety and all the great feedback that we've been having so far, you know, from Isolation and Last Time, and also the artwork for the cover. Everything's been very positive, you know. So it's really exciting, you know. It's been a long time that we don't have such an amazing response for singles, you know, for something that did even come out yet, you know, for the whole album. But, you know, we have already a North American tour announced, amazing festivals in the summer in Europe, you know, in June, July. So, and always going to start tomorrow, you know, so it's going to be great.
Yeah, and speaking of that, you've got the Sacred Rite Crowbar tour coming up March 18th through April 22nd. Touring with those guys, you know, how did that come about? You know, what's your history with, like, Sacred Rite and Crowbar?
Ah, oh, great, man. You know, Sacred Rite is one of our brother bands. You know, when we came to the United States for the first time to tour with Beneath the Remains, we met Sacred Rite and all the roadies and Gloria, you know, our manager that to be, you know, because we met her there. And then we went through Phoenix and they all came to see our show. And basically we moved to Phoenix because of them, you know, because we met people there. We met we made friends, and you know, some of the Sacred Rite crew started to work with Sepultura, including the manager, as I mentioned. You know, so and we did a very iconic tour as well together, the New Titans on the Block, back in 1991 or 92, something like that. That was amazing. You know, it was a Sepultura, Sacred Rite, Napalm Death, and Sick of It All. You know, it was an amazing combination that was so successful, you know. And and finally we had the chance to do that again, you know. Sepultura and Sacred Rite together, they came back with an amazing album, you know. Awakening is fantastic, and they're doing tours all over the world, so they came back with full power, you know. So I think it's a perfect time to put this package together. And of course Crowbar, you know, great friends as well. We toured together before, we had a great time on tour, jamming together on stage and having a great time. And Art of Shock as well, you know, which is a band that I personally don't know, but it will be a great opportunity, you know, on the road to meet them all and to create new friendships and stuff. You know, it's going to be very excited about, you know, very happy with the package. It's not easy, you know, to put out a package to tour. Everybody's on the road and etc., you know, but we very it's a privilege, you know, to have those bands together with us on the road.
So going back to the Sacred Rite deal and you know, hanging out with them early on in your career, the one thing I read about today was they were the ones that kind of suggested you to Metallica to handle James's guitar duties when he I guess that would that have been the Canadian flash, you know, when he got burnt in the fire. How did that come about? And then you know, did you actually rehearse with those guys at all?
Yeah, definitely. It was one of the best experiences in my life, man. I mean, Phil Rind, you know, the bass player and the writer and singer from Sacred Rite, he's a, you know, like I said, a brother, an amazing friend, and for a long time, you know. And we love Metallica, you know. I mean, he's a good friend from Jason Newsted, Flotsam and Jetsam, mm-hmm. you know, Phoenix and all that stuff, you know. So they knew each other for a long time. And I remember when the Black Album came out, everybody hated, you know, but me and Phil. Me and Phil were always like defending Metallica, you know, for against everyone. Metallica, you know, wimped out or whatever, you know. And Black Album, it's the most successful album ever, you know, not only from Metallica, but maybe from the whole style, you know,
right,
for the whole
yes.
scene. And it's an amazing, fantastic album that really changed the whole metal world for better, you know. And but people around that time was really, I remember even Pantera, you know, talking shit about on stage, you know, because of Metallica and everything and stuff, you know. But anyway, me and Phil, we always defended Metallica, you know, and I always love to play covers, you know, that's my school, you know, I play everything from Judas, Black Sabbath, Metallica, Slayer, you know, that's how I develop, you know, the way I play thrash metal and everything. And when this accident happened, you know, Metallica really opened possibilities for musicians all over the world, you know, to do, which I thought was amazing, you know, opportunity, you know, they opened for friends, they opened for Metallica cover bands, you know, to go to Denver, where they were rehearsing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Phil Rinn talked to Jason Newsted, talked about me and, you know, told him that I could play a lot of the Metallica stuff and, you know, and anyway, I mean, they opened a space and time for me, you know. So after Jason talked to Phil, you know, next week I flew from Brazil to Denver. A limousine was there waiting for me, and I went straight to the practice room. They were rehearsing at the Denver Arena where the Nuggets played, you know, and they have a separate room there where they have everything set up, and they were rehearsing with people coming in and out, you know. It was insane, you know. But they gave me my place there, and I did very good, you know. I knew all the stuff, and the chemistry between the musicians were amazing, especially with Jason, you know. He was the one who really opened the door. And I stayed for the Sunday rehearsal, which was only me and James Marshall, you know.
Right.
So I went to the final. And then on the final, James Hetfield was there, you know. It was very intimidating, you know, because he's one of my biggest idols and stuff. And, you know, they were kind of impatient really to resolve that situation, you know. And at that day, they resolved it. They even had a meeting after the rehearsals, you know, to choose between me and James, which I felt really powerful.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, but they were so, you know, amazing. You know, they pay all my bills and stuff of my traveling, you know. They since then we are very good friends and stuff, very respectful and etc. And like I said, even though I didn't got the job, you know, it was an amazing experience, you know, for me, you know, to jam with Lars Ulrich, Kirk Hammett, and Hetfield and fucking Jason Newsted, you know. It was like more than a dream, you know. And I think I did pretty well, but I was not really ready for the Black Album material, you know. I knew how to play some of the stuff, but other stuff. And James Marshall was much more ready to do it. He did it before. I guess, you know, he was more connected to the guys and stuff. So they decided to go with him, you know, which was great as well, because they continued the tour with Guns N' Roses and Faith No More and stuff and et cetera. But, you know, for me, it was fantastic, you know, and I'll never forget that.
Yeah, that would have been a killer show to see. Just a couple quick things. Anytime I get a guy that's been on tour with Pantera, which is one of my all-time favorite bands, I always have to ask, you know, do you have a good Dimebag story, a good Phil story, a good Pantera story?
All of them, man. You know, that basically was the best tour, 1994, Sepultura, Pantera. One half of the tour was Biohazard opening, and the other half was Prong. And during the World Cup, you know, in the United States, 1994, and... Dimebag was one of the most amazing guys, not only on stage, you know, but off stage as well. You know, he knew everybody. It doesn't matter if he was the president of the United States or a fucking bum on the street, you know. It was just like he treated everyone so well. Everybody was really felt home around him and around everyone, you know. And and of course they always, you know, trying to create a joke or a prank, you know, on stage. And Dimebag was very creative on that aspect as well, you know. But he always tried to do something, you know. We called them on stage to play Kiowas, all the percussion and stuff. And he always create like a special, you know, visual effect when he came on stage with fireworks and extra lights and all that stuff, you know. So it was always fun being around with them. And I learned so much, you know, not only... I played Walk with them every night too, you know. It was a fantastic experience for me to feel that sound, you know, that fucking powerful, beautiful unit that Pantera was on stage, you know. And we had a great time together, you know. It was a fantastic period of of our career, you know, and we feel so privileged we had that opportunity, you know, with Vinny and Dime. They're gone, you know, and we had that opportunity and privilege to be with them, you know.
Yeah, one of my, I guess, regrets in music was you guys had to drop off the tour for a few shows, and that was one of the shows that I went to. So all I got to see that day was Pantera and Prong, which was still great, but I was such a huge fan of you guys at the time too.
I know, I was so disappointed, man, with that because Max had something in his knee and stuff, and you know, in retrospective, I mean, we should go on fucking stage in a wheelchair. What the fuck, man? You know. I seen so many musicians with clutches and stuff. Actually, we played with Ozzy and Alice in Chains and Sepultura in 1992 on the No More Tears tours and stuff. No More Tours, number one. And Lane Stanley was with his broken foot, and he went on stage with a wheelchair and stuff, you know, and did an amazing show. But anyway, I mean, we were, you know, in different times and stuff, and we cannot change that now.
Absolutely, man. Well, I can't let you go without asking you one last thing, and that's about Gloria's comments lately. The fuck you, it's hard for you guys to move on comments. I kind of thought they were a little bit out of left field, and I just wanted to kind of get your rebuttal on them.
No, I have no comments about, we're just talking about Quadra, you know.
Okay.
We're here now.
We are here now. All right, well, very cool, man. Well, Quadra comes out tomorrow, February 7th, Nuclear Blast Records. Andreas, it is an absolute pleasure to get to talk to you after all these years and being such a big fan, man. And take care, all that good stuff. And where's the best place for people to go online and follow Sepultura and then obviously purchase the new album?
Yeah, I mean, we have the Facebook page, Official Sepultura, right? Sepultura Facebook. We have sepultura.com.br, which is our official website. And there you can find all the directions to our record label and pre-orders and all that stuff.
What's up, everybody? This is Rob Rivera from the band Nonpoint, and you are listening to Rob's Pick from the Kit on the Talk to Me podcast. Thank you very much for tuning in each week and supporting Joshua on his podcast. He's had me here quite a few times. A lot of my friends and a lot of people have such love for Joshua. We need to get him on my podcast, which is actually called the Robcast Podcast. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Robcast Podcast. You can send us an email at robcastpodcast@gmail.com. We've interviewed members of Machine Head, of Megadeth, which Dave Ellison and Phil Demo and Rob Flynn. We have interviewed Jeff Scott Soto, who is from TSO, Sons of Apollo, Johnny Damon from the Yankees. We've done quite a few people there, and we're splitting it up in seasons. So it's not going to be like episode 399 or like I'm just going to do like a season. We did a first season of 20 episodes, second season of 13 episodes, and we're going to keep it like the 13, like most Netflix series is always 13 episodes. But let's get into the pick. I want to pick a band who featured one of my all-time favorite drummers, Mr. Shannon Larkin. The first time I ever seen Shannon or heard of Shannon, he was in a band called Wrathchild America. And they had a record called Climbing the Walls, I think it was called. Yeah, is it Climbing the Walls? Let me read this right here. Yeah, Climbing the Walls. And they were such a unique blend of blues, thrash, rock. They had everything in their music. And when I saw him play in videos, I never saw him live with Wrathchild America. First time I saw him live was when Wrathchild America actually changed their name to Souls at Zero. And I saw him on a tour with Sacred Reich and Crowbar at the old Rosebuds in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. If anybody remembers Rosebuds, then it was called like the Metal Factory or the Metal Club or something. That's where I saw them. Such a tiny little place too. So, but anyway, that song, I felt like it was so cool. It was like kind of like speed metal, and then all of a sudden had this blues like solo. It was like so unique, and you definitely need to find these records. I believe they've only released two. The other one was 3D, which was their second one. I don't think they released another one because that's when they changed their name, because they were getting pressure from this band called Wrathchild from the UK, which is a total glam band, and that's why they added the America to Wrathchild. But I still think they got grief, so they just changed their name to Souls at Zero and released two very good albums. And the second record, actually, I don't know how well it did, but that first record did a lot. They did a lot of touring on it. And as many people know, Shannon went on to play with Ugly Kid Joe, Amen, and now in Godsmack. And I believe he was in a very early incarnation of Snot, if I'm not mistaken. So anyway, here is Wrathchild America Climbing the Wall.
Me.
Right, and that was Rob Rivera's pick from the kit. Thank you to Rob Rivera of Nonpoint for continuously giving us some great content and having us check out some great tunes, just like that Wrathchild America song. And since we talked about Andreas playing with Metallica, let's go deep into the realms of Metallica. Let's check out something off of, you know what? Metallica has always been one of my favorite cover bands. Anytime they do covers, I love it. Let's take a deep dive into some classic Metallica off of Garage Days. And let's do a little crash course in brain surgery. This is Metallica. This is some amazing Jason Newsted bass playing that you would not get on Injustice for All, but that's for another show and another time. So yes, crash course through brain surgery. Huge thank you to Andreas Kisser for taking the time for coming on the Talk To Me podcast. What a fun conversation. What a great guy. And I've been a huge fan of his since about 93. So good Lord, 27 years now. Ugh, that's too long for everybody out there. And so Andreas Kisser was great. Got to talk some Pantera, got to talk some Metallica, got to talk some Sepultura. Even threw in some glorious stuff there at the end if you didn't check that out. But once again, thank you guys for checking out the show each and every week. Make sure to check out the latest Talk To Me t-shirt. Let's get these out of my house and onto your body. And also make sure to head over to merchlive.com. Use the promo code TOME10 at checkout for 10% off your entire order. So until next Thursday, for the Talk To Me podcast, I am Joshua Toomey, and I will talk to you soon.